As we begin another More Abundant Life radio broadcast, it's my privilege to welcome you to our program today. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., your host for the More Abundant Life. This program features the ministry of Pastor Wintley Phipps of the Seabrook Church. And I do hope that you will stay tuned to our program today. The title of the message is going to be, I Will Build My Church. Let's just call it that. Pastor Phipps may not say the title of this message exactly as I did, but I think you'll get the picture. I Will Build My Church. This is program number 217 in our series. And before we get to the message, we're going to hear some music. Music by Wintley Phipps.
Like peering through a window blurred with rain, emotions run together in a flood of doubt and pain. We pray as best we can. Now we must leave it in His hands. Yet I know when my eyes fail to see, He is able. Even though it seems impossible to me, He is able. In the way we prayed He would, confident He's working all together for my good, I will stand behind His word, for He's able. Night and day, how could God allow your heart to be torn this way? Does He listen when you call, or is He even there at all? Yet I know when our eyes fail to see, He is able. Even though it seems impossible to me, He is able. But if He chooses not to move in the way we prayed He would, confident He's working all together for my good, I will stand behind His word, for He's able.
You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. We just heard music by Wintley Phipps, a song entitled He's Able, and that is from the release entitled Wintley Phipps. Let's join the message now as it begins. The title, I Will Build My Church.
If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. I want to read in your hearing, beginning with verse 13. The Bible says, Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do men say that the Son of Man is? And they said, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it. KJV reads, And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. My message this morning, I will build my church. My church. To the casual observer, a church is nothing more than a building. Stained glass. To the casual observer, a church is a congregation. But I want you to know today when Jesus said, Upon this rock, I will build my church, he was speaking more about more than just buildings that deteriorate. The church buildings of today, all of them, no matter how fine they look, will deteriorate. People will come and go. Brothers and sisters, never limit the church to what the human eye can see. The church as God sees it, the church as God ordained it, is timeless. It is not defined nor confined to any period of history. Time is no factor for the church because the church is a divine institution that is immortal, invisible, imperishable. The church is the company of God's faithful people in all ages. So we are connected through history to the church. The church is the triumph of God's faithful people. From the beginning of time to the very end of the ages. I think it was Gibbons who wrote, While that great body, the Roman Empire, was invaded by open violence, or undermined by slow decay, a pure and humble religion gently insinuated itself into the minds of men. It grew up in silence and obscurity. It derived new vigor from opposition. and finally erected the triumphant banner of the cross on the ruins of history. My God. In creation, God established the church. It had a grand total of 2 members. Today we call that a company. God called that his church. And when Adam and Eve turned their backs on God, God made it clear that this church would come out triumphant in the end. Genesis 3:15, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. When Saul of Tarsus threatened to destroy and annihilate the church, God not only removed the threat, but he converted the persecutor into the greatest missionary for his church the world has ever seen. With God, all things are possible. Brothers and sisters, the mightiest combination of evil cannot intimidate God's church. All the mountains of difficulty we face can be conquered because we are a church built on a rock. The church, confronted by what seems like invincible foes, skepticism, worldliness. You know, the church is not an institution like a club that you join. The church is not something that you can join and leave at your pleasure. However imperfect it is, the church, brothers and sisters, it is through the church of the living God that God opens the gates of heaven. The church, Christ, has a claim on us through his church, a claim we deny at our peril. We join the church not because we like the church as she is. Most of us wouldn't be in the church if we were looking at the way it is. Huh? I heard a man once said, if you find a perfect church, for heaven's sakes, don't join it, you'll spoil it. We don't join the church because we like the church as she is. At her best, the church is still feeble and defective. We join it because Christ loved it. Hallelujah. So I'm in it not because of her perfection. I'm in it because Jesus loved it. That's good enough for me. The Bible says Christ also loved the church and did what? Come on, church. Gave himself for the church, that he might present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and that it should be holy and without blemish. Jesus, in a note of triumph, said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Now, the tense here is a future tense, and the idea is that of continuous operation. No limit is set. Some people think that the church as an institution has already been built and that all we have to do is join it. But what Jesus is saying here is that all we have to do, some people think all you have to do is keep the buildings in good repair and you got a church. And we all agree that this must be done. The church is more than that. The church, brothers and sisters, has not yet been completely built. Or better yet, she is still being built. Woo! Are you listening to me? It is still being built. And she will always be being built until probation closes. In spite of the persecution, the contempt of men, God is still building the church today. The church has lived through the best of times and the worst of times. Every storm that has passed over has only made the church stronger. And we admit that as members of the church, we are called upon to champion truths that are often higher than our own conduct. And that leaves us open for charges of hypocrisy. The world expects more of the church than it does of itself. And it should. Let me say that again. The world expects more of the church than it does of itself. And it should. And it has every right to do so. For we who claim to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got a standard to live up to. We've got a banner to carry high. Well, this is not the Kiwanis Club. This is the church. And we who proclaim ourselves as his redeemed, those washed in his blood, empowered by his spirit, we have a responsibility to struggle with sin in our own lives and overcome it because we are the church. And the world expects more of the church than it does of itself. And we come to church to do more than just sing and shout, y'all. A dear black woman who, while the minister was preaching one day, kept shouting, glory, hallelujah. And some tried to make her keep quiet. She said, I can't, for I is overcharged. There's nothing wrong in being overcharged. But when you stop your shouting, when you stop your praising the Lord, do you love your enemy? When you finish your singing, do you do good to those who despitefully use you? The church, it is a company of the blessed. Brothers and sisters, we believe in the inevitable victory of the church. We believe the enemies of the church will go down to defeat. And we believe that because of a promise Jesus made. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and not even the gates of hell shall prevail. Now, brothers and sisters, I believe when Jesus said those words, he was thinking of three things. First, he was thinking about the empty tomb. I believe that when Jesus said those words in his mind, because you see, one doesn't usually associate the grave with victory. When you visit a graveyard and you see people lingering and giving flowers, you don't see a victorious picture. But something tells me when Jesus was thinking about his church triumphant, God says, praise him. He was thinking about the empty tomb, and that's why he could say with confidence, upon this rock, I will build my church, and not even the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, shall prevail. And the Lord was teaching me something about that this week. Lord, you know, what are gates used for? Gates are used to keep out evil and to trap and keep in victims, or amen. And the gates of evil, Jesus was saying, no matter the attack launched from the gates of hell, the church will be triumphant. The gates of hell will not prevail. And that word prevail also means that there will be a protracted struggle. Are you with me today? A protracted struggle. When you prevail, it says a sense of fighting until the very end. And gates also keep in victims. That was, to me, what Jesus is saying. When I get ready to get my children who are trapped by the evil one, not even the gates of hell will be able to stop me. The gates of hell will, are you? When I push on those gates, not even the gates of hell will prevail. Oh, thank you, God. I believe when Jesus said, he was seeing in his mind, when he said the gates of hell shall not prevail, he was seeing that empty tomb. I believe when he said those words, he was seeing the cross. You know, I don't know about you, but I visited some famous tombs in this world. Have you ever been to places where they have the ruins and the remains of people? I visited Napoleon's tomb, and it was an eerie experience, because we know from the messenger of the Lord that Napoleon will be lost. But they had this ornate tomb with statues of angels hovering over it. And then the other day, I was in Israel. And when they took me to the supposed tomb of Jesus, there was nothing there. Yeah. It was empty. And I believe Jesus could say the gates of hell will not prevail, because he knew there would, and he had confidence there would be an empty tomb. The master would not be there. Praise his holy name. In the rising of Christ, all of his claims are vindicated. In his rising, his Father's love is vindicated. His rising satisfies the human heart that we have a living Savior who will be with us till the very end. The world has its champions, its superstars, its heroes, but the rock on which we stand is Christ the Lord. The world has its heroes. The rain falls on them just like it does on you and me. Oh, but thank you, Lord. The rock upon which we stand is immovable. It is a defense in the time of storm. David called it the rock of my salvation. This rock is a hiding place from the wind, a shelter from the judgments of heaven. This rock is a strong tower in a weary land. Look to the rock. There you will find a place of victory. Brothers and sisters, Jesus also said, if you have your Bibles, turn to it, John 12:32, I'll read it for you. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. Great men illuminate the pages of history. The pharaohs, the Caesars, they have their own monuments, their own memorials. But Jesus, I believe when he said the gates of hell shall not prevail, he was not only thinking of the empty tomb, but he was thinking of that cross. That cross. He was nailed to it. Have me, Jesus. He was almost totally deserted at it. Mary stood there. John was faithful to the end, but the others left him. But today, wherever you go, the cross is the symbol of the victorious Savior. The cross is the symbol of a church triumphant. Hallelujah today. They come to churches all over the world. It started with two people. But look at the church today. I said, look at the church today. It is growing, and it will grow till the end, because Jesus said, I am building my church, and not even the gates of hell shall prevail. Now, today, I wanted to just take a moment to thank God for his church. For where would you be? Where would I be were it not for the church? Today, there a holy resolve wells up in my spirit, because we have been blessed to have a church like this church. This church has been a blessing to me. And I don't know about you, I hope it's been a blessing to you too. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Not only has God made us, but he has made us his people. Not only has he created us, but by his spirit he has recreated us. Not only has God placed us upon this earth, but he has called us into his kingdom. He has separated us from the world. Praise the Lord. Through the atoning sacrifice of his son, we were dead in sins and trespasses, but God has made us alive. That's what he's doing in the church. We were by nature the children of wrath, but in Christ we have passed from condemnation to life. That's going on here at this church. Today, as I look at how the Lord has blessed Seabrook in the past, we can't deny he has abundantly blessed us. Amen. And a man was telling about the many moves he made from one city to another in the few years. The company that employed him was involved in the rapidly changing picture of our nation's defense program. And he had to make sudden moves and frequent moves. And he said, my family and I, we've had to learn how to live in one city and at the same time prepare mentally to move on to another city. And that's how you as a saint have to live. You gotta live here, but mentally.
mentally you gotta prepare that you're moving to a continuing city. A city, amen. As a matter of fact, you won't need any light in that city. We seek a city that is to come at the close of the age. We'll stand on the sea of glass, singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. The church will be triumphant. And here's what I'm saying to you before I close today. Sometimes I worry about the church. And you do too. Come on. But I'm not worried about the church anymore. Because Jesus planted a cross that towers over history. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and not even the gates of hell will prevail.
That brings us to the end of our message for today. I do hope that you enjoyed the message and that you understood it. The message entitled, I Will Build My Church, is program number 217 in our series. That's program number 217. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. And you'll want to refer to that program number, which is program number 217. Here at The More Abundant Life, we are always appreciative of your support, your prayers, your comments, and your financial contributions. Should you wish to correspond with us, you may send correspondence to Post Office Box 1078 in Columbia, Maryland. The zip is 21045. The address again, P.O. Box 1078, Columbia, Maryland. The zip is 21045. You may obtain information about the music that you hear on The More Abundant Life. And again, we are most appreciative of the support of our listeners. Also, if you are in the Washington, D.C. area and you would like to visit the Seabrook Church, where Wintley Phipps is the pastor, the address is 8900 Goodluck Road in Lanham, Maryland. Again, you may obtain directions to the church by calling 301-577-6342. Worship services are held each Saturday morning at 8:15 a.m. and again at 11 a.m. Well, until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr., and I want to wish you God's richest blessings. I hope that you'll join us again for another program, but until you can, please remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life. Give what's in you.